Mike's not, that's it. Good morning to everybody on Zoom as well. And I very much liked this last song we sang just before the message. And I really hope that everybody sang it sincerely and may the Lord hear our sung prayer, as it were. I would like us to look in the Apostle of James this morning. We will be reading a few verses, but this will not be the primary text. We're looking at the idea of wisdom in the book of James. This is a message I preached at Emmaus as well. And from what I have heard, it's been very well received and thought of as useful, which I do hope you will find as well. Each one of you, well, each one of us, I'm not excluding myself, each one of us in our own lives. So we are looking at James this morning, James 1. We will be reading verses 5 to 8, but we find some more on the subject of wisdom in chapter 3. So it's just these as a guiding verses for us this morning. And James says, if any one of you, verse 5, lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. Amen. Very interesting words from James. Very strong words. Words that we don't like to be told about ourselves, or we don't like to think about ourselves. We don't want to be described in such words. However, when we come to wisdom, we have the choice of wisdom or no wisdom. Now, in Romanian, we have a saying that goes, and I'm not sure whether you have something similar in English. I was looking for it online. I couldn't find anything similar to Romanian, but maybe you'll be able to help me. In Romanian, we have a saying that says that the gray hairs is a sign of wisdom. Do you have something similar? Is it exactly like I've said it? Wow, I'm a good translator. Very good. However, I did find something online which I thought was very, very interesting and very well put. And it says, I don't have gray hair, I have wisdom highlights. So I thought that was very good. Wisdom highlights, yes, that's good. That's good. Imagine for instance, that I want you to buy myself a new car, brand new car. And who is the driver here who can still drive or used to drive anyway, at any point in your life? So at least a good percent, at least half of us are driving or did drive. Now, I go to the representative and I say, I want to buy a brand new car. I like this car. I like every feature it has. I want to get it. But I want you to take out something. I don't want any engine oil. I find that engine oil will be a cost that is unnecessary. I don't want engine oil. Will that car run? Why not? It has everything it needs. It has got fuel. It's got pistons. It's got injectors. It has everything. Why will it not take me from A to B? It won't work. It's missing something crucial that makes all the parts work together, doesn't it? It could have the most expensive, the best tires in the world. It could have the most expensive leather seating in the world. You know, the best steering wheel and, you know, air conditioning, everything you want. It will not work. Why? Because it's missing the one thing that makes the whole system work. It is similar with wisdom. We may have loads of knowledge. We may have loads of, you know, we may be very clever We may be up to date with anything that's happening around us in the world, but still, that does not mean that we are wise. We may not necessarily possess wisdom. See, in the secular world, in the society, being wise means being able to think critically about certain matters or about life. But the wisdom that we find from James is one that brings much, much deeper, much more profound thinking into life, which is beyond critical thinking, which is beyond looking at what's good and desirable and what's bad and thus rejectable. That's critical thinking. And the society would say, yeah, you're a wise man, you're a wise woman for thinking like that. But the Bible tells us that the wisdom that comes from above is different, is more profound. So then James takes us more than practical judgment, takes us to wisdom that comes from God. And this idea of wisdom is not just here. You will have read many times, I presume, in the book of Solomon, well, both books of Solomon, that there's loads there about wisdom. Jesus preaches about wisdom as well. But we're looking today at James, and you'll see something very interesting later on about why we're looking at James. Now, for us to understand whom James is writing to, and I believe you, Daniel, has spoken from James a while back, James is talking to believers scattered, most likely from Jewish converts to Christianity, to believers in God, and they are going through a hard time. And in this hard times, James says that you have perseverance. You exercise perseverance. You exercise patience, which is good. He doesn't question in any way. He doesn't doubt in any way that they have perseverance. He's sure that they do. However, when it comes to wisdom, he says, if anybody lacks wisdom. Now, in hard times, we are to exercise patience and perseverance, not reaction, not be passionately moving about and kicking about everything. We are to exercise passion and we're to exercise patience and perseverance. But within perseverance and patience, there must be also this element of truth. Now, James is very gracious here when he writes, we all need more wisdom, point blank. But James goes, if anybody lacks wisdom. So when he says, if anybody lacks wisdom, then we, the readers, we, the hearers, think, do I lack wisdom? The ball is in our court because we have to ponder. Is he talking to me? Are the following verses addressed to me? Are they applicable to me? So that's what we do today. Now, he says, if anyone lacks wisdom. So obviously, some people have wisdom, others don't have wisdom. But he's very gracious in his way of speaking. We all need wisdom because this is a wisdom that only God gives. The wisdom he talks about is one that God gives. And whoever doesn't live with this wisdom, he lives a life that is disadvantaged. He's lacking something. That's exactly his words. You may have abundantly everything you need for your day-to-day living. You may have them in excess, but that doesn't mean you have wisdom. Your life can still be handicapped by the lack of wisdom. Now, when we refer to handicap, we refer to a lack of an ability to do something or a disability, don't we? Your body doesn't function well, so that creates a handicap in your body. You know, life in general can be handicapped, can be disabled by lack of wisdom. And there are so many people living a life handicapped by a lack of wisdom. So that's what we're trying to do today. We're trying to look at wisdom and see what it is and how to get it. so that life will change and we will not live a life of misgivings due to wisdom, but we will live a full life as Jesus intended us to live. There is a verse in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 35. It says, "The wise inherit honor, but fools he holds up to shame." Now, just imagine whether you wish to live a life of shame. Or imagine if the life you have lived so far is a life in which there is shame, or there was shame. Would you say that the decisions you made were wise or were foolish? Solomon says, "The wise inherit honor, but fools he holds up to shame." So now we go back to James, and James says, "If any of you lacks wisdom," so again, we're looking inwards. Do I lack wisdom? Is my life marked by honor, or is my life marked by shame? It helps us to understand. And Solomon goes on to say in his book that the ones who are wise are, he calls, plainly wise, but the ones who don't have wisdom, he calls fools. It's a strong word, a very disliked word, but it's a true word. Wisdom and foolishness are opposites. You cannot mix the two together. And Solomon so much helps us to see that. Now, we need to ask another question. Who is James speaking to? Who is he writing to? Because if we look in his letter, in his epistle, we see that he speaks to the ones who are, you know, religious, the ones who are very well set in their way of doing God, in between inverted commas. If you are a Christian, this is what you ought to do. That's what we've always done this. So James goes in chapter 1, verse 26. "If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." In chapter 2, and again in chapter 5, he speaks about the rich people. Rich people need wisdom as well. In chapter 1, we've seen already, in chapter 1, verse 9, chapter 2, he speaks of the poor people. Poor people need wisdom as well. In chapter 3, he speaks of everybody who has a tongue, people with a tongue. There's anyone here who has a tongue? James says they need wisdom as well. In chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, James goes on to say, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be." Even people who have a tongue need wisdom. Because you cannot use, James says, the same tongue to curse the ones who have been made in God's image, but then turn around and bless the Lord who made them. So we need wisdom to know what to speak and when to speak, don't we? Another class of people that James refers to is the people who are spurred by their desires. In chapter 4, the first few verses, he goes and he says, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you?" People who are pushed by strong desires and pleasures in their own heart and seek to fulfill them, they need wisdom as well. You see, there is a difference between people and animals. Animals act based on instinct. You don't see animals sitting back and thinking, "I wonder if I were to chase this animal for prey, would I like it with salt or certain spices?" Would it stay and wait for me? Would it run to the left or to the right? You don't see animals sitting and pondering, thinking on life, how they should react, where they should migrate, how they should mate, and all this and all that. No. But we humans, we have this capacity to think, which animals don't. So what that means is that we have to employ wisdom within our thinking, because we are not based on we're not based on just reacting instinctually like animals. So our wisdom in our thinking will bring restraint, will bring moderation. That's wisdom already. Animals cannot have wisdom because they cannot think. And God has made us in such a way. But the type of people that James describes in these verses are people who instinctively react on malice, on greed, on fightings, on pleasures, murders, killings, promotion, show off. These are not signs of wisdom. Another class, another group of people that James speaks to, found in verses 13 to 16 in the same chapter, chapter 4, is the go-getters. You know, the ones who get along, the ones who show the results, the ones who are street smart. Put them anywhere and they'll succeed. Put them in any team and they'll shine. Give them any project and they'll smash the results. The entrepreneurs are here. The ones who start businesses, the ones who have business ideas, the ones who lead other people in certain projects, they are here. And James says, you need wisdom as well, however smart you may be. And then in the last chapter, in chapter 5, James speaks to the sick and the ill. They need wisdom as well. Now, what is this wisdom that James speaks about? In order for us to understand why we need wisdom and why we need to ask for wisdom, to get wisdom, we need to understand what it is. We have already said that wisdom is not knowledge and wisdom is not cleverness. They are totally different, because knowledge is weak and shallow in comparison to wisdom. Wisdom is deep, and Solomon identifies this difference between wisdom and foolishness. There are many verses in the book of Solomon where he says, the wise do this and react that way, but the fool does this and reacts that way. We don't have the time now to go through loads of them, but I'm sure you've read them, and I encourage you to read them some more. Now, when we look at this, in order for us to understand what wisdom is, we need to understand how this book is. It's a very practical book. James is a very practical, the epistle of James is very practical. He goes into the nitty-gritty, he goes to the grass levels, the grassroots of what needs to be done in everyday life. We also know that he's talking to different kinds of people in different aspects of life. So then we can draw this conclusion that James speaks about wisdom strongly connected to life as it's being lived every day. He goes to say in chapter 3, verse 30, he says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by what? By his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. So a very practical book, wisdom tied closely to the way we live our everyday life. Why? Because wisdom is demonstrated by respective deeds, by wise deeds. So James sees the same, the foolishness that Solomon speaks about, and sin, he sees them as being the same thing. It doesn't create a distinction here. Why do I say this? Look at verse 14 in the same chapter 2. He says, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom, and in my Bible, in my translation, that is between inverted commas. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. So James says, if you do deeds that are not caused by a wisdom that comes from above, then you are sinning. What you call wisdom in your life is of the devil, is a sin, is causing you to sin. Now, we need to understand something very well. James was a Jew. He was born a Jew, raised a Jew. He learned the Jewish scriptures. We learned the Old Testament. So when he goes on to say in these verses that such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly and unspiritual, all of a sudden we go back to the words of the psalmist. And open with me in Psalm 111, verse 10. Psalm 111, verse 10, which says, for a Jew, this is very, very relevant. Psalm 111 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And all who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. And then for him, the words of Solomon, for James, the words of Solomon in Proverbs 9 verse 10, where it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. These become very, very relevant for James. And he ties them with daily living. So again, James writing to these people who are going through hard times. The addressees of this letter are going through hard times. So he tells them that wisdom is the ability to understand the situation you are going through. Wisdom is the ability to understand that this situation is permitted by God. Wisdom is the ability to understand that even through these hard times, God is still in control of the situation and of your own life. And also in these situations to learn what are the lessons that God wants us all to learn. Many times we are in a hard time and we are vulnerable, we are tender, and that's when we're in the best spot for God to teach us, for us to learn from him. If I were to define wisdom, I would say that it is God's gift for a profound thinking in faith, and which is meant to influence the believer's character, demonstrated by the deeds that accompany it. See, for James, wisdom is practical faith. Practical reasoning is not enough. James goes much deeper. You have to have a practical faith which shows your wisdom through the deeds that you make. The person who knows God in his heart has true wisdom. You cannot have this wisdom unless you know God. And this allows you to understand the situations that come in our lives and the circumstances that we go through, and gives us the ability to control how we react, to control our behavior, to refrain from certain things that we wouldn't otherwise have refrained. It is a power that exceeds that of intellect, that of knowledge. So then it's very difficult when we know this, what wisdom is. It's very, very, not difficult, it's very easy to understand what James says in chapter 3, verse 17, where he says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving,
considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere.
See, James says that it comes from heaven, it comes from above. It's of a different nature. That's why earthly wisdom will never be enough for a believer. It's a good starting point, and it has moral elements built into it, but it will never be enough for a believer. We must be filled with wisdom from heaven. Because later on we'll see that it's not what we can do with our own strength and power. It's what he can do through us. And because James here goes on to say that this wisdom is pure, is peaceful, considerate, it's submissive, and so on, it demonstrates that with such a wisdom, we have the capacity to understand the plan of God, to understand the work of God, to understand and submit to his plan, and also allow the Holy Spirit to bring forth fruit in our lives. Such a wisdom is needed in order for us to be able to do that. So the question is, are we then happy with just a normal secular wisdom? With just a wisdom that has some moral aspects? Or are we rather hungry, desiring more, a heavenly wisdom that would bring forth into our lives purity, peace, consideration, submission, mercy, good fruits, impartiality, sincerity? How do we get to have such wisdom? How do you get it? Where do you get it from? The solution that James proposes is very interesting. Just think about this. James doesn't say, if any of you lacks wisdom, they should lock themselves in a room in silence and meditate on wisdom. James doesn't go on to say, if any one of you should lack wisdom, they should take a course in logic and philosophy. James doesn't say, if any of you should lack wisdom, they should seek the priests and the rabbis and get wisdom from them. James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, they should do what? Ask. Ask for it. Ask for it. You see, it's very interesting. When we want to get professionally, we want to get into a career. We say, for example, we want to become a doctor. We don't drop on our knees and say, God, please make me a doctor. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. Please make me a doctor. We want to become an engineer. We don't go and say, God, please, I'm going to spend hours on prayer. Please make me an engineer. No, we go and study, and then we become an engineer. However, if you want to get wisdom that is from above, James doesn't say, go to uni, go to the wisdom classes, seek the wise people. James says, plain and simple, ask from God. Ask from God. What we do instead is we tend to read books. We tend to follow people's sayings. We tend to read quotes. James says, ask. Don't work for it as if it could be your own product, but ask from God. And the scripture encourages that it is in God's interest to give wisdom to people. We read in Proverbs chapter 19, if you open with me, Proverbs 19 verse 20, it says, listen to advice and accept the instruction, and in the end, you will be wise. Proverbs 2, chapter 2, verse 6, the Bible says, for the Lord gives wisdom,
And from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. And a very interesting verse in the Bible. Well, it's not just one, it's several. In Psalm 119. I know it's the longest psalm in the Bible, and not many of us want to start reading it because we'll be there for some while. But read Psalm 119 and notice how many times the psalmist speaks about the precepts of the Lord, the word of the Lord, the teachings, the law of the Lord, and how many times he mentions these. Every few verses he speaks about them. So he gets to the point to which he's paid so much attention to the word of the Lord, to his precepts and his laws, to get to verse 98, where he says, "Your commands make me wiser." He says, "Wiser than my enemies." I wonder whether this psalmist would have read The Art of War. I wonder whether this psalmist was talking about strategic tactics of war. Did he go to the best generals to ask for wise tips about how to militarily be defeating your enemies? He says it plain and simple, "Your words make me wiser than my enemies." This is always the temptation to go look for wisdom with somebody else. Grow and study wisdom from somebody else rather than seek and ask for the wisdom from above. So there is one more aspect here when you speak about asking for wisdom. It's the aspect of desiring it. Desiring wisdom. How do we ask for wisdom? Do we desire what we ask, or do we just ask because Tim preached on wisdom today? We must desire it. We must desire it, nothing more, nothing less. Desire it of the Lord and ask it of the Lord, and he will give it to you. See, wisdom will be received because it was asked, not because we put into it personal effort to become wiser. We have already read from James in chapter 3 what kind of wisdom is the earthly wisdom. What kind of wisdom is our personal efforts wisdom? James was plain and simple and says, it's of the devil. It's earthly. So when it comes to desiring wisdom, desire the wisdom that comes from above. You see, I don't really picture God sitting in heaven and looking at us and saying, you know what, I have upgraded my wisdom package, so I want to press download and just stream it down to everybody. I want 7 billion people to have wisdom, click download. Or God doesn't sit in heaven looking at us saying, oh, Tim's version of wisdom is outdated, I need to update his, so update Tim's wisdom of version of wisdom. No. He waits to see that we desire wisdom. He wants to give it, but do we desire it? He will not force it on us. We read in Exodus that God brought plagues to Egypt. And it says, there's a verse that says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart, so he wouldn't let the people go. So how do we understand this hardening of heart for Pharaoh? Did he harden his heart, or did God harden Pharaoh's heart? Well, I believe that Pharaoh made a decision, and then God strengthened Pharaoh in the decision he already made. In a way, God confirmed to Pharaoh that if this is how you want it, this is how I'm going to give it. If this is your choice, this is what I'm going to respect. If you or me we do not desire wisdom, God is not going to force it on us. If we say, I'm happy with the wisdom I have, I'm happy with the level at which I am, God will respect your decision. He will not download more wisdom onto your brains or mine. How should we ask then? 2 minutes in the morning, before the kettle boils, before we rush out to catch the bus or to drive to work, we're already late, don't have time to pray this morning. A couple of minutes in the evening, half asleep, because we're too tired. Is that how we should ask for wisdom? No, this asking must show persistence and perseverance. It must be soaked in the expectancy of receiving it in faith. We ask in faith, believing that we will receive it. It's not a question of whether God wants to give it or to us or not. He wants to give it. That's plain and simple. It's whether we desire it. Now, whoever desires anything, they don't just think about it in the evening and they just hope tomorrow it happens. You don't desire to buy a new house and then go to sleep picturing it in your mind, and tomorrow somebody drops you a pair of keys. It doesn't happen that way. If you desire something, you have to move towards that end to which you desire. In such a way, if you desire wisdom and you ask for God, then you have to persistently and perseverantly ask for it, because it needs to be a prayer based on the faith of receiving. It doesn't oscillate. You know, James mentions here in the text that we've read today, verse 6, but when he asks, he says, he must believe and not doubt. You ask believing, you will have. Now, if you don't ask that way, if the only way you ask for wisdom is 2 minutes in the morning when you're rushing out the door, or 2 minutes half asleep at night, James says you are like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind, because you doubt, because you don't do it in faith, because without doing it in faith, you cannot do it expecting to receive it. Let me ask you if there's any strong point in a wave onto which anyone can stand. There isn't. Any big and mighty wave that we see on TV, if you put your foot on it, you go down. You cannot stand on it. It's a wave big enough to bring down a house, but you cannot put your foot on it and stand on it. Such is a man who doubts that they will receive wisdom from God. Big and boastful as a wave, however, tossed by their lack of faith, tossed by their doubt. And what James does here in verse 5, he says something very nice and very encouraging for us. It's a guarantee of receipt. It's a guarantee of receipt. He says he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. God gives wisdom generously. There are no restrictions. God doesn't give wisdom in percentages. God doesn't give wisdom partially. He gives all wisdom. He's generous in giving wisdom. He doesn't give wisdom with strings attached, with conditions. I'll give you wisdom, but there must be something in it for me as well. Where's my cut if I give you wisdom? No. He's generous. He gives it generously. He will give it to you generously. James says he gives it generously and without finding fault. Now, imagine you wanted to take a course. Say you wanted to take a course in, I don't know, mathematics. hair trimming, whatever, any course that you want to take. And you go to the class and you speak with the teacher and you say, teacher, I'd like to take this course. And the teacher asks you, have you ever done this before? Do you know anything about this? Is no, my mind is blank. I'm here to learn. And the teacher goes around to say, how dare you approach me, you blank person. You ignorant, you know nothing of this. How dare you take my time when you don't even have the basics? Would you be willing to carry on with the course? Not really, would you? See, when we go to God and say, when we say to God, God, I need wisdom because clearly I don't have wisdom. My deeds are the wrong deeds. My words are the wrong words. I don't do things as you expect of me to do. I need wisdom. I have choices that I need to make. There's decisions in my life and I don't think I have wisdom for them. Please give me wisdom. God will not say, how dare you ask for wisdom? No. Without finding fault, says James. Without looking at you and saying, yes, indeed, he hasn't got wisdom. God will show somebody who desires wisdom. That's it. I'll grant them wisdom. I'll give them wisdom. He gives wisdom, but without rebuking us that we don't have wisdom. And that's encouraging. That's encouraging to know that we can approach him and bring to him our lack. Bring to his abundance our need. See, in God is met our lack and his abundance. Only in him. So if you don't have God, he cannot give abundantly because it's his wisdom. So you need to get to know God. We need to realize our lack of wisdom and bring that lack of wisdom to God and ask for wisdom, and he will give it to us. And this request ought to be done in faith and without doubt. James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, we've gone through the whole message and let's come back to the beginning. If anyone lacks wisdom. So my question to you and to myself today is, do I lack wisdom? Ask yourself, do I lack wisdom? I know many of you are here, the majority of you are here with gray hairs, and that's a sign of wisdom. However, I was never prevented from bringing this message to you this morning. I don't have a doubt in my mind that I should not have said this today. To you and to us, this the question stands. Let us ask ourselves, do we have wisdom? And what I'd like to do in the following moments, can I ask you to bow our heads and to pray? Speak with God. We don't have to do it in a heard voice. It doesn't have to be under our breath. It can be silent, completely silent, a prayer of your heart. But can I ask you that you look inwards in your life sincerely and honestly? Look inwards at the deeds that you have done. Look honestly at the way you have reacted in the family, at the workplace, in public places. And look honestly at the thoughts that you have when nobody saw you. Would you say that you're okay for wisdom? Or would you say that you need wisdom? And if you decide that you need wisdom, I'm calling you today to speak with God. Ask for wisdom today. Do not leave this place without asking for wisdom. If you don't know God, you just want the byproduct, I'm asking you to come and ask God to enter your life. Live a new life with him. Leave behind, repent of all the sins that have caused you to instinctively react without wisdom. And ask him to give you wisdom. Our Heavenly Father, we believe the word that says that you created man in your own image. You are a God of wisdom. So today we come to you, and Lord, in any aspect of our lives where we reckon and decide that we have not shown wisdom, we ask for wisdom. God, we may think of ourselves as intellectual or clever, smart, knowledgeable. But Lord, we have learned today that that is not wisdom. We do not want to let ourselves tricked into believing we are wise when all it is we are just smart. We want to live our life at a much more profound level and understand things that are happening in our lives. And we want to live the life you've given us, showing good deeds for it, showing purity, showing peace, showing understanding, showing fruit. So Lord, today we stand before you and together we unite our prayers and we say, Lord, give us wisdom. We ask for it. We need it. And we will persevere in asking you to grant us wisdom for your name's sake, so that we can show and we can know that we are made in your image. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.